Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, say some words, because halfway through that intro, I realized I didn't have a question to ask you.
You know, that's okay. I am running the recording today, which means I can do this. Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. This is wonderful to be here.
I wish there was a sound that was like, ooh.
I know, that would be good. I mean, we kind of got this, like, there, really intense. But yeah,
that
no,
ooh, like,
would have been a lot better.
Like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Hot dog. All right. Well, we're here for another episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We've got a few things to talk about. We got a Marigold show. We got some first round action in the Tokyo Joshi Max Hart tournament and a few other things to talk about. But before we talk about that stuff, of course, we have to plug it. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. Follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. Follow me at Tay Mainbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to this show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. All right, so what is going on? What are we going to talk about? Well, we are going to talk about Marigold's Mayu Iwatani 15th anniversary show from January 24th at Corican Hall in front of 1,195 fans. And Kelly, before the event even began, it was cloaked in controversy as the Hat Man was stealing images from Stardom, using just blatant Stardom pictures for a trading card set that Marigold was making.
Yes, to celebrate Mayu's 15th anniversary.
Stardom was not very happy with that. Just another insane Rossi Ogawa decision.
Do we think Rossi was like, I took those pictures, they're mine?
Oh, I'm sure that he thinks, like, oh, I have them in my possession, I own them.
Yeah.
I often like to think that, what was that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
This man
was on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame candidate list, and there were people sincerely arguing that he should get in.
Yep.
Those people should have their voting revoked.
Yeah, and they should give it to me.
Because I believe everything since that moment has proven why he should not be in.
Yeah. No, there's nothing more damning than the company you worked for being far more successful after you leave.
But Kelly, what'd you think about this show specifically?
I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was a complete disaster. I think I enjoyed it well enough. It's the most I've probably enjoyed Marigold in quite some time.
Well, I liked their big show last year, at least a portion of their big show. I don't know. I thought this was really boring. I thought, yeah. There is something about it where they have clearly created, quote unquote, we have stardom at home.
Mm-hmm.
That is the whole thing. But you think about these wrestlers and you're like, who do I care about in this promotion? What? Like, maybe Sari. I'm like, well, that's sort of interesting. Victoria. It's like Mayu is like, hooray, it's my 15th anniversary. Don't anticipate me getting to 20. So I'm like, oh, great. You've got one foot out the door. You know, Utami sort of just fucks around, seemingly, now that she's lost the title.
Yeah.
She's like, well, whatever. You know, was happy to have this match with Mayu, which, sure. I don't know. I'm just like, why do I care about, you know, hey, you want to see a promotion that's got a really annoying heel unit in it? Can't get enough of hate in stardom?
Yeah, there good can't news. Be any other place like that, right?
Yeah, good news. We have Darkness Revolution.
They're like hate, but bad.
Yeah. So, to me, I just sort of was like, I can't care about this.
I hey, think remember? My opinions of the company are so far in the gutter that I can watch this pretty boring show and be like, that was all right.
I mean, they also announced, and we'll talk about this as we go through the show, they did announce that they are launching trios titles. And my first thought was they're going to have to consistently find six good enough wrestlers in this company to work those matches. Like, okay, Mayu's a champ. You're doing a big show. We're doing a big show, and we're going to defend the trios titles. You can't use Mayu. She's got some titles. You can't use Victoria Yuzuki. She's got a title. You can't use Miku. She's got a title. They're all defending their own title. Name me six wrestlers you'd be really excited to see face off in a 3-versus-3 match.
Oh, let's see. We got, Darkness Revolution versus, oh boy, Utami, Sari Yamaoka, and, Mai Sakurai.
I mean, the fact you mentioned Darkness Revolution, I don't want to see Darkness Revolution, so I'm already
no,
in disagreement
with you. No, I don't either.
I mean, it's like Komomo, that's 4.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, who else?
Maybe I'm in the mood to see a real bad giant swing. Throw Chika Goto in there.
So that tournament is starting, but let's get into this show proper. It began with a 3-way match, Shoko Kishino defeating Hummingbird and Yuka Yamazaki in 8 minutes and 23 seconds.
What a disaster.
A match that has currently, I believe, a 3.67 out of 10 on Cage Match, and not very good.
There was so much I loved about this match. First off, how long has Marigold had their own Hiroshi Yamato? I feel like this is the first time I've seen her. She even does like the I'm going to shake everyone's hand in the front row gimmick. Incredible. It's exactly what this company needed. Second off, they start doing comedy spots and you can hear a pin drop. There is no sound from the crowd. No one's laughing. No one's shouting. Nothing. Absolute quiet. And then the commentary team puts over how advanced Yuki Yamazaki is for only being a wrestler for 8 months. And then she proceeds to fuck up damn near every spot after that. Just incredible.
Well, I have some commentary. I have some commentary opinions later in the show.
Oh, this is probably the funniest commentary team maybe ever. And not purposely, of course.
Yeah, I'll save that for the match where it really stuck out to me because I was like, what are you talking about? I would say this match is a skip.
I think it's worth a watch. It's one of those that's so bad, it's really funny.
It really does highlight, though, here's a positive. It highlights that Wrestle Universe has a great feature where you can just automatically skip a match.
It is nice.
That is an amazing, great feature. That is very helpful. What was next? Well, it was Darkness Revolution, Nagisa Nosaki, and the small child wearing Halloween witch fingers, Rei Seto, defeating Chika Goto and Nao Ishikawa in 11 minutes and 11 seconds.
I have a quick Rei Seto thing to say. First off, I think she's a little better than she used to be. Second off, I was scrolling Instagram yesterday, and one of the things that popped up was someone made a music video of Rei Seto doing the most basic wrestling moves you've ever seen, set to Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. And that was incredible. That was better than this entire show. I can't tell if it was supposed to be a joke or not.
My big takeaway is Kelly already mentioned it earlier. I would love to be backstage at one of these shows and have a Chika Goto match happen. And everyone, the match ends, everyone comes to the back. And my first question would be, why do you continue to insist on doing this giant swing that looks like it hurts you more than your opponent?
Oh, she got her around 10 times.
Yeah. He's like, got her around 10 times. What a feat. Meanwhile, she's in the ring like, oh my God, I've just used up every ounce of energy I've ever had in my whole life. I'm like, stop. This is a funnier version of Saya doing all those fucked up moves,
yeah,
you know, 2 or 3 years ago when we were like, don't do this. It does not look good. Now, the good thing is, well, I think Chika Goto can't like bust someone's teeth out of their head doing a very slow giant swing.
What if she does it and somehow launches someone across the ring into like the ring post and they'd lose all their teeth? But
she doesn't have the velocity. The person is like maybe 6 inches off the ground and moving at like 2 miles an hour. It just seems like you're just doing yourself more harm. Like, it doesn't work.
No.
If anything, I would be like, we're making a story about this. Stop doing it until you're very strong and then do it again when it looks good.
Yeah, because it sure does look horrible every time.
It's just so funny that people are like, who has the better giant swing? Claudio Castagnoli or Miyu Watanabe? Meanwhile, there's a third person doing it who is treated like she's conquering the greatest athletic feat. You know, this was not my commentary thing.
No.
But this commentary team treats every moment as if the earth is spinning off its axis at any moment that anyone does anything.
Legitimately hilarious commentary, and they are not trying to do that. All right, take these four wrestlers and rank them best to worst for me.
Oh, God. Okay. Frank, this is very hard.
It is. I think number one.
Okay, I'm starting bottom up because bottom is easier than top.
Okay.
Rey Asato is four.
I don't know.
I think Chika Goto is three.
Okay.
And then... Nagiso Nozaki is not good.
But she's serviceable.
She is, in baseball, like a complete replacement player.
Yes.
Like, she doesn't give you any wins. It's just zero. It's like... you could use any average, perfectly average player in that spot and you would get the same result. That is Nagisa Nozaki, where I'm like, I know you're not going to go in there and like forget how to run the ropes.
Yes.
But you're never going to go in there and I'm going to be like, whoa, what a match. Now Ishikawa, I think, is below average, but I think she has some personality.
She has moments of brilliance.
And so that's, I guess I would rank Nozaki 2 and Ishikawa 1.
That's what I would do as well. I would go now Nozaki, I think Rey Asato, and then Chika Goto.
Yeah, like Chika Goto just feels like one of those things where it's like, it's not happening.
And they're trying so hard.
It's not
good.
Yeah. Yes. If she was just putzing around, doing nothing, in the undercard or in the opening matches, it'd be like, she's not very good. Oh well. But again, it's this thing where it's like she's a primary part of this promotion, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
She, you bring in a bunch of people, and most of them haven't worked. You stocked your roster mostly with people who came from a promotion where they don't even call what they do wrestling. Starting from a low point. And some have worked out and some have not at all.
Nope. It's wild that this is the Darkness Revolution A team. Like, by a mile.
I mean, the whole thing is like, I was waiting in the title match for them to get Sari because I'm like, they need someone in that group that can do something.
Yeah.
So now this, I would say, is a match you should skip. There's nothing funny.
No.
There's nothing funny in this. All right, and the next match on this show, Kelly, it was a little treat just for us. A 15-minute time limit draw between Komomo Minami and Victoria Yuzuki. A draw I knew that was coming when they, I think, 7 minutes in or something. I was like, well, this is going a little long. I think it's going to a time limit draw. And I knew it
several, like, maybe a minute in when the commentary team told you it was going to go to a draw because they were like, well, Victoria Yuzuki has the pure white belt and Komomo Minami is having a title challenge soon. No one can lose. Who could lose this match? No one can lose.
Maybe I zoned them out because this was the sequence of events that drew my attention from commentary. Early in the match, Victoria Yuzuki goes to do an over-the-top rope move. She didn't quite get it. It didn't look horrible, but she didn't get all of it. Very clearly, very obviously, the camera was right on it. Sonny's on commentary going, "Oh my God, she crushed her. She got her. She got her so badly. She's done the greatest move you've ever seen." Not 2 minutes later, the same man is on commentary going, "Well, I think Victoria Yuzuki's in her head because she didn't hit that move before." I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You just told me it was the greatest move you'd ever seen. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, you know, a lot of times we get in our head, you know, Victoria gets in her head and she's thinking about the moves that she missed." I'm like, also not a great thing to tell the audience.
No.
That you have figured out that she misses so many moves and then gets in her head about the moves she missed. But I was more annoyed by, "You're telling me it's the greatest move you've ever seen," where I can visually see that she sort of missed it. Again, if the commentary had gone, "Oh, she went for that move. Oh, let's see what that does to Komomo," and moved on, I would have been like, okay, you know, didn't look great, but we got through it. No one got hurt. Whatever. It happened.
I was a little worried about her from that perspective, because like for the next couple of minutes, I don't know if you noticed, but she kept like moving her fingers like they may have been tingly or kind of numb.
But it wasn't like she landed on her head where I was like, oh God, like she may have a broken neck, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever. But then you can't possibly tell me after you told me it was a great move, oh, she's thinking about that she didn't hit the move.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, and second of all, I mean, I guess you would say, oh, she's young. That's the thing. I'm like, she's still thinking about that move she missed? Like, what is she doing? Why is she wasting time? You know, in sports, the whole thing is, oh, you never remember the last thing, the last play, because blah, blah, blah. And I know Yuzuki is still very young, and I don't, you know, she's sort of still in that super rookie period. But I'm like, she's now been wrestling for a while. She is one of your top champions. She's probably in the top five most pushed, you know, maybe even higher than that, most pushed people in this company. And you're telling me that she's like, oh, I don't know, I missed that move. Then, of course, we had all the, you know, usual, like, this is rampant, like, bad announcer stuff, which is, she hit the move. No one has ever kicked out of this move as the count is happening. And it's like, 1, 2, kick out. And I'm like, you bozo. You know, the same thing. Oh, there's no way she can get up from that move. Oh, she kicked out. I'm like, you're giving away that she's kicking out by saying, you know, all these announcers always go, there's no way you can get out of that.
Yeah.
And they kick out. They never say that when the pin happens.
No.
It's always, well, we'll see. Will they kick out? Oh, no, they didn't kick out. Oh, they'll never kick out of this. Well, now you've told me they're kicking out. Thank you.
That's why nobody kicks out of the Falcon Arrow is a funny bit.
Yeah, I mean, yes. And that is a bit. I mean, but I was just like, and the thing about it is the match was pretty solid.
Uh-huh.
It was like a pretty good match. I think I was not as high on it as other people. I'm annoyed by time limit draws because I'm like, you just, what, stop. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But like, it was well worked. Yes, they had the blip of that move that was the greatest move ever missed in the world. But like, it was well worked. I was like, oh yeah, these are two of the better. I mean, especially Minami, you know, Yuzuki has been presented as a top dog the whole time. So it's like, okay, it's good that there's two of them, because after, you know, you watch the opening match, you're like, oh, all rookies are bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, just annoyed me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
But the match was good.
Yeah, overall, I liked it. I went 3.5 on it. I thought they both worked really hard. They laid their shit in. Good stuff, but just, you know, it's a time limit draw on a Rossi promotion.
Next was the first round match in the Marigold 3D Trios title tournament. The trio of Arena Yamanaka, Mai Sakurai, and Natsumi Shozuki defeating Koke Amore, Megaton, and Miku Aono in 16 minutes and 38 seconds. Look, I don't like Megaton. I don't want to ever see her ever again. I don't need to see her ever again. But the crowd was behind her here. They got hype for her maybe winning. She didn't win. But another match where you're just like, there's so much good and there's also so much bad here.
It's wild to me how in this match, really, in this show, you can make an argument that Megaton may have been the second most over person on this show behind Mayu. Like, the crowd wanted her to win this match so bad. And I was kind of like, you know what? Let her do it. It very much felt like Hanma working the G1 the year where he lost every match. It was kind of shocking. And I wouldn't say she was any good, but you know what? The crowd was into it, which you can't really say for most anything else on the show.
Yeah, at least it's something happening that isn't like subpar wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, it is subpar wrestling, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
subpar wrestling that people are enjoying. And
yeah, the crowd was engaged.
Yeah, I mean, and also these teams are just so random that I'm like, am I supposed to be excited about Koke Amore, Megaton, and Miko Aono?
Yeah. Like, neither of these teams feel like
teams,
a unit. Yeah, they're just people that got slapped together.
It's like, well, we've got 15, you know, 18 people. Just draw them at random and put them in teams.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, you know, people who got big pushes and have really done nothing and gone nowhere, Koke Amore.
Yeah.
Is like a big nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway, the semi-main of this show was the Marigold Twin Star title match, Darkness Revolution, Chiaki and Misa Matsui retaining against Sari Yamaoka and Shino in 13 minutes and 35 seconds. Kelly, I give it to you because I don't have anything.
I really enjoyed Chiaki's completely ridiculous suit of armor ring gear that she wore to the ring. I thought that was funny. I think she has gotten a slight bit better. I think she's still bad, but not the absolute dirt worst that she used to be. Anytime Sari Yamaoka wasn't in the ring, this wasn't very good. And they're definitely setting up for Shino to turn on Sari and join Darkness Revolution.
I guess. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, someone has to be turning because of the fact they're like, oh, they want so-and-so. They want them, you know. Something's going to happen there. God, we can't add another person who's not that good to that group.
Well, buddy, I think they're gonna do it.
There just aren't that many. Like, who do you even add to? I don't know.
Maybe they need another person so they can more easily have a trio to win the trios titles with, because you don't want to have a trios title and then just one person who's not in the thing in the group. So it's like, it makes more sense to have two people on the outside and then so five total.
Yeah, but that would make so much sense to have people all in one unit be in a trios. And as we've seen, the rule is that it has to be random people who you have no affiliation with.
Look, we're figuring it out as we go, okay?
Oh, and the main
event.
We'll
put together a trio after the tournament is over.
The main event was for the GHC women's title. Mayu Iwatani celebrating her 15th anniversary, defeating Utami in 14 minutes and 45 seconds. This was a good match. I don't think it was necessarily something I was like, wow, never seen this. You know, it was only 14. Mm-hmm. It was less than 15 minutes. But well worked. Didn't raise my blood pressure. But well worked, as you would expect from two sort of good wrestlers.
Yeah, I thought it was good, kind of just like, you know, a little celebration anniversary match. I thought they worked it at a good pace. I liked that it was under 15 minutes. I ended up going 4.25 on it. I really did enjoy this.
I mean, whatever they're paying Mayu, they should pay her more, because I can't imagine what this promotion would be doing if she hadn't jumped.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? I mean, you take out Mayu and Utami and you're like, what even is this promotion?
Bad. Well, it still is bad, but extra bad.
Anyway, yeah, I started out by saying I was bored of the show, and I think from my individual match reviews, I probably liked it less than I said at the beginning. Just what a weird company.
It really is. It's, you know, I feel like every now and then we do need this reminder to be like, this is what Marigold is.
What else was happening in Joshi in the last 2 weeks? Stardom had a couple shows. They had a Corican Hall show, Konami defeating Rina to retain the Wonder of Stardom title. And then on the 25th of January, Hazuki retaining the beloved CMLL Japan women's title over Olympia. There, Seedling also had the some of the first round matches in their tournament that they are doing. Miria Koga winning that qualifying pre-tournament to get in the tournament. In the tournament itself, Mio Shirai defeated Yuri. And then the main event was Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Mirai, retaining her title, because every Matsumoto match in this tournament will be a title match for her for the Beyond the Sea title. I did watch this. Saw a little bit of hype for it. People who are like, oh, it's really good. It's like the best Mirai match I've ever seen. Wouldn't go anywhere close to that, but I thought it was good. I thought it was hard hitting, had some good lariats in there, well worked. So, you know, worth your time. Nothing crazy, nothing to go out of your way for, but I didn't enjoy it.
I think, to be like really fair, Mirai should have put the International Princess title on the line too.
So you would have been okay with Hiroyo Matsumoto being the International Princess Champion?
Sure, why not? Just bounce it around, Seedling.
Also, Tokyo Joshi started their Max Heart tournament. The first day was on January 17th. The matches were Mizuki and Uta Takami defeating Chika Nanase and Kira Summer. Then it was Palm Paler, Max the Impaler and Palm Harajuku defeating Raku and Ren Kanatsu. Mifu Ishida and Yuki Arai defeated Himawari and Shino Suzuki. And
I need you to tell me what their team name is.
Himawari and Shino Suzuki?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Bumping Gritters.
What does that even mean?
They're
gritty and they bump? That's what that's the Japanese translation of those dudes, those British dudes from AEW.
Gritters generally refers to vehicles spreading salt on roads during the winter.
Oh, I know all about those.
Okay. Hold on.
So they have the bumpin' gritters.
It involves the English words glitter and grit.
Oh. So they're gritty glitter girls.
I guess. I'm looking this up.
I feel like that makes the most sense.
The team of Himawari and Chino Suzuki had to repeat their new team name because everywhere got it slightly wrong yesterday. Their name is Bumping Gritters, but they didn't say it clear enough over the microphone, so everyone, including the official social media pages, thought it was Bumping Gritties without the R at the end. That's from Dramatic DDT. I often don't spend a lot of time learning these team names, especially for teams that we may never see.
We'll probably never see this again, but this one's so weird that I had to know.
Gritters. And then the main event of that show was something more logical for Kelly. Kick slash the team of Kaya Toribami and Miyu Yamashita defeating last year's winners Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima. Then on the 25th was the second round of the tournament. Mizuki and Uta Takami defeating Haru Kazushiro and Yuki Aino. Daisy Monkey defeated Kaya Toribami and Miyu Yamashita. Palm Paler defeated Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. And Ober Eats, the current champions, Wakana Uehara and Yuki Kamifuku, defeating Mifu Ishida and Yuki Arai. Kelly, we were sort of talking about this before we went on the air, but I don't think anything gives me more sense of deja vu than covering the Max Hart tournament first round every year.
Yeah.
Where I think
it really feels
same...
like just, yeah, it's the same thing every year.
These are not bad matches.
No.
They are perfectly average matches.
Yeah. They're kind of sleepy, but like, that's just because it's a single cam production with no commentary.
They have this, they run it in that same venue every year, so the backdrop looks the same.
Yep.
I think if you took like the last 3 years and mixed them up and played a video and was like, what year is this Max Hart tournament? It would be very hard to figure out.
You could probably just put up the video file for last year's first round and I would watch it and not think anything of it.
I think the only giveaway would be the people who are not in the company anymore, or
yes,
people who weren't in the company, you know, who are new in the company.
Yeah, but it might take me a little while before I'm like, wait a minute.
I mean, the good news also is that the later rounds are much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 7 years ago, this whole tournament was this.
Yeah.
Where you were like, it's just going to be very average tag matches. Now you get into those later rounds and the matches get much better. And then, of course, the finals are usually very good. But it's on Wrestle Universe. I mean, they're short shows if you watch just the matches, but certainly nothing to... I mean, I think in the past years, we maybe had one match at 4 stars. I don't think anything would get close to that here.
No. My main takeaway from these matches is that Tokyo Joshi should take all of the push and attention they've given to Yuki Arai and shift it over to Mifu Ishida. Because I think they might really have something with her. Like, she's got really cool looking offense.
Yeah, I mean, the trick is that she wasn't in a major national girl group.
But, and I still Yurai really was. She was in the farm league for that.
Well, you know, I mean, I think to me it's been proven that that really has not been a draw.
No.
Like, the people don't really much care about that. But I agree. I mean, Mifu, you know, I was bummed to see that Kaya Toribami and Miyu Yamashita lost in the second round, because I was like, ah, here we go, a Kaya Toribami push. And then, whoop, that ended.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a couple people I think that they could do something with that they haven't. So, we'll see what happens.
It's real. Like, I was really hoping, I mean, when I just think of this tournament before they showed the brackets, I feel like in my head, I was like, well, Daisy Monkey versus Kaya and Miu will probably be the finals. And well, it's not going to be that. They did that already. So that's a slight bit of a disappointment. I would have liked to have seen that match at a stage in the tournament where they try harder.
What else was happening in Joshi in Sendai Girls? They had a show on the 23rd where the junior title changed hands. Yuna losing to Senka Akatsuki. So Senka, the new junior champion there. Diana had a show on the 24th. They decided at the end of last year that they would vacate all of their titles and start fresh. So on the 24th, Diana had three title matches with new champions because they were all for vacant titles. So Ayako Sato winning the Elizabeth title, Haruka Umesaki and Unagi Sayaka winning the tag titles over Miran and Olympia, and Debbie Keitel defeating Nanami Hatano to win the world title. Kelly, what has been going on in Choco Pro?
After we recorded last time, Choco Pro 496 from December 30th finally aired. That had some title matches. The Asia Dream tag titles saw the Egg Tarts team of Chie Koshikawa and Hagane Shino beat Mia Soy, Mia Yatsuba, and Soy to win the titles. In all honesty, I was kind of disappointed by that because I really thought they had something with the Mia Soy team, so that was disappointing. But it was a decent enough match. And then in the main event for the Super Asia title, Rina Yamashita successfully defended against Emi Sakura.
All right. And what is upcoming in Joshi? Well, Stardom has a bunch of shows. They have a Korakuen Hall on the 31st. They have two New Blood shows back-to-back, one on February 3rd, which is New Blood 28, one on February 4th, which is New Blood 29, and then they have Supreme Fight in Osaka, Suri versus Saki Kashima, Maki Ito facing off one-on-one against Aya Sakura. There will be an E-Nexus V versus Mi Vida Loca match. And then the main event of that will be Saya Kamatani taking on Starlight Kid for the World of Stardom title. Oz has a show on February 8th that will have Rina Yamashita versus Jaguar Yokota versus Miku Kanai for the Oz Pioneer title. And then will be main evented by Sayori Ano facing off against Hiroyo Matsumoto for the Oz title. And then finally, the Tokyo Joshi Max Heart Tournament will continue with the semifinal matches on January 31st. Those semifinal matches will be Daisy Monkey facing off against Mizuki and Uda Takami and Palm Paler, which is Max and Palm, facing off against Ober Eats. Kelly, who do you have in the final?
Going with Daisy Monkey versus Palm Paler.
I think Daisy Monkey is the obvious one.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Mizuki and Uda made it this far.
I mean, Mizuki is not, you know, no slouch, and now
no,
it's
but
easy
that
enough.
Screen that we just put these two together to be in a first round match, and then Uda would take the pin, and they'd never team together again after that.
That's true. Although now the good thing is she can easily lose, and you don't think, oh, we have to have someone,
yeah,
you know, have Mizuki lose. I don't know. I mean, it feels weird to put Ober Eats in the finals because then they would just face off against. They would either win.
Yeah.
And sort of call their shot or have to lose to someone and then possibly lose to them again, which seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess Daisy Monkey versus Palm Paler is the obvious thing. I think maybe there's a Daisy Monkey versus Ober Eats or something. And I don't know. I don't even know how you could get there. Like,
well, Daisy Monkey, you know, they win the tournament and then they challenge Ober Eats for the titles. So I think.
But then it feels like that would mean that they would lose the title match.
I think they're going to win.
So I guess Daisy Monkey versus Palm Paler, and then you have Daisy Monkey win somehow.
Yeah. Because I think you can, like, Max the Impaler is a great person to have around because they can just credibly beat pretty much anybody and it's fine because they're giant. So like you could have Max just pin Wakana and no one would look that weird.
Yeah. So, but we'll have to see. Should be a good final with those four possible teams. And that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. Kelly, I'm going to commandeer Kelly's Corner.
Oh.
For my own recommendation. Did you watch Skyscraper Live yesterday?
I did not.
It is pretty crazy, and I would recommend it.
Okay.
And it is related to wrestling because one of the commentators is Mr. Freaking himself.
Oh.
Seth Rollins.
Did he laugh a lot?
Seth Rollins sounding, I will say, it's funny you say that, sounding the most normal I've heard him speak in years. Like, actually sort of sounding like a human being who's like, wow, this is really crazy and this is making me nervous. Like, as opposed to his usual, like, ha, 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 I'm, you know. And you're just like, shut the hell up. So, it's on Netflix. It's very stressful, I will say.
I bet.
I didn't realize watching it because I was sort of thinking of it. And then you start watching a person climb a building with no help. And you're like, oh, this would be very easy to fall and die very horribly. And they're like, we have to clear the 1 mile around the building because even if a penny falls, it will kill someone. And I'm like, okay. But that's my recommendation. Kelly, you are still allowed. I still will allow you to make your own recommendation. Well,
it's been very cold out, so I've been home a lot playing Animal Crossing because they did the. So it's got some new stuff to do. And, you know, it's just fun to kind of go back to that old routine.
Well, there you go. A classic recommendation from Kelly. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time to talk even more Joshi. So until then, so long.
Bye, everybody.
Hi. I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.